Germany's top security official is denouncing the type of rioting that went on in Hamburg during the Group of 20 summits beginning this week, saying it is the opposite of democratic protest, with things like violence and fires being set. More details at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to the Digital Revolution Show. I'm Cloudwise Joe, and I've got my internet superhero slash geeks, or whatever they want to call themselves, on the line with me. But we've also got our guest, Mark Sorensen, who's a CEO of Social High Rise. They specialize in restaurant social media management. Normally, we only have a guest on for two segments, but this is such a big topic, and I'm so interested in making sense of this for our audience and, frankly, for me. You know, I think sometimes, people think because we know technology or we know what's going on in the marketing world that we're especially experts in every little bit of it. And frankly, social media is not one of my personal specialties. That may not understand it, but it's not a specialty. So we've got Mark. He stayed on for another segment. We really appreciate that, Mark. What I wanted to do is, in this segment, I wanted to get into what is it that your business actually does. I think that there probably couldn't be a more confusing term than social media management right now out there in the world. You know what I mean? I mean, is it so people go, oh, well, they make pretty pictures and share them out, or you know what I mean? I mean,
it's
such a strange topic. So what is it? Give me a high level what it is that your company does.
Yeah. So, I mean, from a high level, our service is, we see ourselves as going into partnership with restaurants where, you know, we literally are joining their team. So what we're not is like this cookie cutter service where, you know, you sign up online, you don't talk to anybody, and then things happen. That's not what this is. It's very involved. We're very hands-on. We're very, lots of communication. But yeah, we do create posts for sure, but there's a lot that goes into it. So, you know, if we were to bring on a new client, we would start everything off with a kickoff call. And that's, you know, a 30-minute to a 60-minute phone call with a single dedicated account manager. And this is the person who we pair up with our clients, our restaurant clients, to do all of this work. So there's just a lot of continuity and clarity that, you know, we're not outsourcing the work. We're not, you know, splitting it up among a bunch of different team members where there might be some confusion. So that's helpful. And then the kickoff call, there's two goals. Number one, we just want to make sure that we cover all the housekeeping things. We need to get access to credentials and make sure that profiles are built, et cetera. But then the other part of the call is where we really interview our client and ask them all kinds of questions. And what we're trying to understand and formally document is the essence and voice and personality of their business. We want to know about the business owner and their background. We want to know about how they source their food ingredients. We want to know, in particular, you know, how do they get involved in the community? Do they donate to the Boys and Girls Club, or are they all dog lovers and they go walk their dogs together? Do they, you know, they're members of the Chamber of Commerce? There's a million ways that a restaurant gets involved in their local community, and we want to know what those relationships are. So essentially what we're trying to do is any real relationship in the real world that exists between the restaurant and, you know, in the surrounding community, we want to know what those are. And so okay, that becomes the foundation upon which we create content and respond to reviews and do all the work that we do, so that it feels like them, looks like them, sounds like them.
Okay, so I've been in this for a long time, and I've paid for these services before I got into this business. And you know, you said some things that are exciting to me, or at least show me that you're a company that's going down the right path. You know, for instance, you don't outsource a lot of this stuff. It's really easy to outsource. The fact that you are having a dedicated rep work with clients to uncover things. So it sounds like a really solid, good foundation. Now, let's move over to what are, so let's say a client has signed up, they've agreed to work with you. What are some of the activities that are going to happen now that they're working with you every month?
Yeah.
You're going to update things, create things. Tell me what it looks like.
Yeah. So first off, we create the profiles, update them, make sure the aesthetics match the brand, make sure that the, you know, the information is correct. And then ongoing, we just make sure that if there are changes to that, like there's holiday hours or there's, you know, whatever changes to the menu, that those are always updated and reflected. But the bulk of our work is done with ongoing content management. So we're creating, so we work on Facebook, we work on Twitter, Instagram, and those are like the posting platforms. The other side of it is the review side, which is kind of, you know, we see social media split between, you know, inbound and outbound. It's kind of a way that we talk about it. Inbound being reviews that come in from customers, outbound being, you know, the message that you're sending out to your customers. So for Twitter, for Facebook, for Instagram, we will create original posts 2 to 3 times per week, consistently ongoing. We optimize the times that we post. We pay attention to the type of content that gets particularly good engagement to create more of that type of content. We're responding to comments that come in directed towards the brand. You know, so we really are a customer service agency in a way for anything that comes inbound through social media. So questions that come in on Facebook.
And you guys respond to those, so you'll help manage the customer service experience, huh?
100%.
Is that right?
You know, as I said earlier, social media for restaurants in particular and for anyone really, any business, it really is about customer service as first and foremost, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then and when you get that right, then the rest of the things fall in place much easier.
Now, now I'm looking at your plan breakdown right now, and I'm looking at your prices. So we'll go over that here in a second. But I think it's interesting because you're being pretty consistent here. As I look at your prices, you call them customer service, customer experience, customer delight. You know, I hope our listeners are getting your perspective here, especially the restaurants, because I really like what you're saying here about this relationship and dealing with customers. I am curious, though, how your team is able to ask or answer a question for a pizza restaurant in southern Florida, right? So
yeah.
What is it you're doing? Go ahead.
Yeah, so you know, we'll take it from like a review side. So one of the things we do is we'll respond to every customer review that comes in on Yelp or on TripAdvisor. We do those privately first because that's the most effective way to actually connect with the customer on a personal level. If it warrants a public response, then we'll do that as well. For positive comments, you know, four and five star reviews. They're happy customers. It's typically easy to respond to them. You know, what we learn in the kickoff call is usually enough. You know, there's not a lot of issues that we're dealing with. So those are just easier, right? You know, it's like the goal is to help that customer feel heard and know that their positive review was appreciated, right? And that, mm-hmm. you know, that sends a little endorphin hit off in their brain and makes them feel special. And all that connects mm-hmm. back to their loyalty for the brand. But for the negative reviews, and every restaurant will get them, you know, 1 and 2 stars, some 3 stars, depending on the way they lean. What we do is we'll draft our response the way that we would think that it should be addressed, you know, to start, just as a starting point. And then we'll email that response to our client. Sometimes our client is the owner, sometimes it's the general manager. We typically want that to be someone who's, you know, feet on the street, who understands the day-to-day of what's going on in the restaurant. And what we're asking for is context on this experience. So, A, we want them to understand that there was a customer that had a negative experience. Here's how we propose responding to them. Give us some feedback.
All right,
and we're
Mark,
always surprised.
I've got to interrupt you because we are coming into the end of this segment. Man, this segment went fast. Real quick,
yeah.
We got about 30 seconds. Can you tell us how to get a hold of you or how restaurants can get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can go onto our website, socialhighrise.com. There's a contact page there. You can submit a contact form. I'll usually be the one who personally responds to those, actually, so that's neat. Or you can call our phone number, which is 855-957-6242. That's 855-957-6242. Just kidding.
All right. All right, Mark. Hey, thanks for coming on the show, and I actually hope you'll come on the show again.
Great
information.
Hey,
restaurants, if you're listening,
fantastic.
I'll tell you right now, go to his website and check out his prices. They're great. They're fair. I think this is definitely something that's worth it. And we'll be back for our second hour of the Digital Revolution Show. Thanks for listening.
From narwhals to unicorns and manatees to mermaids, discover the physical and cultural connections between the real and mythical worlds at Turtle Bay this summer in Mythical Creatures, Dragons, Unicorns, and Mermaids. Mythic creatures of all kinds are taking over the museum May 20th through October 1st in this immersive, hands-on exhibition organized by the American Museum of Natural History, New York. Mythic Creatures is presented by Shasta Regional Medical Center and U.S. Bank. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all, but not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie-cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today, and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit them on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
There's an older animal at Haven Humane who lost his loving home just waiting for you to come rescue him. PALS Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion, and right now Blindsided is making a donation to this fund with every window covering order. Donations to this fund continue to provide homes for these older pets and honor the memory of this amazing deaf Dalmatian that provided me love and companionship until his passing over 10 years ago.
For window coverings, contact Blindsided today at 945-3969.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to the Digital Revolution Show, where Jared picks music that to me feels like it's not the oldies, but my kids call the oldies.
Right.
I don't know when that happened.
Right. Why don't they make new oldies?
Right. Right. I remember when that happened, too, by the way. I remember, you know, in what would have been the 80s, they'd have those TV commercials that would be for records from the oldies, you know, from the 60s or the 70s,
totally, yeah.
And I'd see people in crazy clothes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'd be watching your Ozzy Osbourne video wondering why people dress so weird in the 60s and 70s.
Right.
And I remember those were the oldies. And it seemed like a world a billion years away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember watching the music that I still considered contemporary scrolling across my TV as the goodies but oldies.
Right. Well, imagine how kids today look at, you know, Warrant, or they look at Poison. They probably look at a Poison video, and it's probably like, you know, so foreign to them. They're all, what is this? You know, this is real.
I wish I could, like, jump in and make fun of you both, but I don't really listen to music, so, like, I don't have that ability to be a young whippersnapper about this.
How do you not listen
to
music?
Okay, so, hey, guys, what did you think about that guest?
I think you're breaking up a little bit. But I think that I found it personally very eye-opening, you know? When he said the inbound and outbound social media marketing to me, that really kind of, you know, it's rare that somebody throws some sort of huge, like, cosmic concept at me that, like, blows my mind, because I'm normally thinking out there in this cosmic realm. The things that, like, blow my mind is when something is summed up as being so incredibly simple, and I look at myself and I think, why didn't I think of that? That is so simple. And so when he was referring to inbound and outbound social media marketing, inbound being what's coming from the visitor, so that would be reviews and comments and so on and so forth, and outbound being what we're sending out, you know, that really sort of simplified what is very potentially a complex topic. It really kind of blew my mind.
Yeah.
What do you think, Sean?
Well, that brings me back to the pizza place again, frankly.
Yeah, well, it should.
Well, I was thinking about some of the stuff they were doing, and as he was talking, I realized a lot of what they were doing was, like, pictures of their pizza, pictures of people in the restaurant enjoying their pizza, you know, sharing things other people had posted about, hey, I'm at Cinder's having a good time.
Right.
You know, and that all made a lot of sense to get the customer involved and engaged and just work with what you've already got.
Absolutely. I think a lot of these topics are, like, very sort of, you know, I used this term earlier, abstract and nebulous. You know, they are out there, and a lot of people just kind of look at them and they glaze over, you know. My example would be when I'm talking to my wife about SEO. When we first got married, I would be talking to my wife about SEO, and, like, literally 5 to 30 seconds into the conversation, she would just kind of glaze over. You could see her.
Same thing happens when you talk to me about it. Yeah, is my mind still scratchy?
Yeah, it is. You know, but now, and I have to admit, I've done pretty well now that we've been married for so long. You know, I could probably get about 5, maybe 10 minutes into it before she glosses over. Yeah. Yep. So you are listening to the Digital Revolution Show. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to have some nice tips for you on SEO and how to get your business to show up in search. Thanks a lot.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep conversation going.
This is what Skype does when you use it.
Time has come for 51. Becoming the 51st state won't be easy, but it'll be worth it. Tired of California passing laws that make your life more difficult?
Find out what's happening and how you can help every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with Wynn Carpenter
and Terry Raposa
here on KCNR 1460 a.m.
Listen for Jefferson State of Mind now at its new time, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock here on AM 1460 KCNR.
He just said, how's that?
Hey, Carl, I'm looking for a new place to eat. Do you have any suggestions?
Have you tried the Cedar Tree Restaurant in Palo Cedro?
No, I haven't yet. What's it
the
like?
Thing you just
hey, it's
said
great. Locally owned and operated. The owner, Susan, does a superb job. Food's outstanding, and the entire dining experience is well worth that short trip to Palo Cedro.
Awesome. What are their hours?
This 7:30 segment goes
to 2,
out to you,
Saturday
Terry.
Through Tuesday, 7:30 to 8, Wednesday through Friday. You won't be sorry that you went out there.
Thanks. I'll go try it today.
The Cascade Theater and First Five Shasta presents a fun and free film series this summer to keep the kids cool and occupied every Sunday in the month of July. See family-friendly flicks like Minions, James and the Giant Peach, The Incredibles, Homeward Bound, and Up every Sunday at 2 in July. And each event includes games and prizes. And did I mention it's free? More information at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Welcome back to the Digital Revolution Show, where I just wanted to keep singing that song right there.
Heck yes.
Yeah. Okay, so, man, that was a great segment, great guest. And ironically, Chauncey, in this segment, we want to find out more about SEO, and you're gonna help us understand what's going on.
We want to find out right. more
and
about
And that
SEO.
Happens to be the very thing you tell us that whenever you talk about it, your wife's eyes glaze over.
So tune in, listeners.
Yeah. What a sales pitch, Charles.
So,
if you're an insomniac, you'll want to stay
yeah,
in.
We understand if you're going to tune out for a bit. But
to be fair, she's a narcoleptic.
All right. Well, that might be something you gave her too.
All right.
So, what's going on with? Okay, before you get started, sometimes I feel like we don't establish the importance of SEO or search engine optimization. We talk about it a lot. I think we talk about parts of it a lot. But let's put some context around what it really is, and I'm going to do a little bit, and then you can fill in here, Chauncey.
Okay.
Essentially, you know, phones and computers and all these devices to access the internet have become so ubiquitous that we've now started using search as a way to make decisions. And so it's like Mark was saying that social isn't all about yelling at people and telling them to buy your stuff. Same thing with search. People may not be ready to buy your service, but they may be trying to find out if they even need a carpet cleaner, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea of search is that at some point or another, in just about everybody's decision-making process into anything, search and Google and the internet's going to play a role. So if you're a business, unfortunately, you do have to make sense of search. You do have to use it. You do have to try to work it in your favor so that you're being found. It is that critical, and I think that's why we cover it so much on this show. Okay, so would you add anything to that, Chauncey, or is that all sound fair?
Yeah. When we were talking to Mark about social media, you had made a comment about how you think that it was the most sort of confusing and misunderstood thing, and I was thinking to myself, no, I definitely think it's SEO is the most confusing and misunderstood thing for two reasons. For one, it's hard to show people what you're doing and to have them understand the value of what you're doing in order to make that happen, because SEO is built on 1,000 little things. Each one is a grain of sand, but when you put them all together, it creates a brick. And so if you explain any one little thing to a person, they're going to be all, well, that's pointless. And so I could explain all 1,000 to everybody, and they'd be all, well, that's pointless. Yes, but when we put them together, it makes a brick.
Okay, can I interrupt you for a second and put context around that too? Because it's interesting. There seems to be this behavior that's done when a vendor is trying to get you to use them to manage your social media, where they find something, a specific thing, your current – SEO or marketing teams doing wrong, right? Or something they haven't done.
Oh, yeah.
And I personally won't do that for the very reason you just mentioned. It's a grain of sand. You know, you can't get to all 1,000 things at any one time. All you can do is keep chipping away. And so at any point, anybody can come poke holes in somebody's SEO strategy. That's why I think it's so important that we share this advice and we empower businesses to have full context so that they can make wise decisions. They could say, oh, you're right. I wish my SEO guy was doing better at that. Or they can say, you know what? That's part of the strategy. I know we're getting to that, but right now we're working on this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, okay, go ahead. Sorry for interrupting.
Well, and the other one is that so many people have been burned.
Yeah.
For two reasons.
No one's chill about their SEO.
Right. It's confusing, so it's easy to burn people. It's one of those things that I think Sean deals with a lot as a copywriter, that a lot of people think, oh, words on a piece of paper, I can do that. I do it all the time. Yeah, but can you do it well? And, you know, so a lot of people have hopped into it really just as a money-making ploy, but without any sort of deeper interest in how to actually make it happen and enjoying the rewards of seeing your more traffic.
Right. Yeah. Good. All right. So what do you got for us?
Well, I got for you the beginnings. A lot of businesses go into SEO and seeing how, you know, I'm on here and I can push for us to cover SEO more often so I can sound so smart on the radio. I figured I'd start at the beginning, and it's really sort of keywords. And before you start to do anything, you really kind of have to have a website and you got to have keywords. And I would say you need the keywords even before the website, because how do you know that you built your website correctly? But a lot of businesses have really no concept of keywords and what's a good keyword and how to find keywords. And so I thought I'd discuss keywords. You know, there are two different ways that keywords can really be addressed by an SEO company. They can either be addressed as what I call key phrases or by what I call key concepts. And a key phrase would be pizza in Reading. A key concept would be the collection of long tail and semantic terms that fall under pizza in Reading. So I would like to find a pizza in Reading. What's the best pizza in Reading? You know, all those little things. But I figured we'd just concentrate on key phrases, you know, and helping people, you know, pick the terms that they should be targeting. And more so than picking the terms that you should be targeting, how to make sure that your company is picking the terms that should be targeting.
Okay, so let me just take a step out here as I'm listening, and make sure that our audience is recognizing when you're talking about key terms. Still, I wish there was a better name for key terms or key concepts or whatever, but so far that's the best name this world's come up with. But what you're really talking about is people are typing into Google search box things like best restaurants in Reading, best pizza in Reading, you know, pizza place opened near me. And those are what us in the SEO world call key terms, key concepts, keywords, whatever. It's basically what people are typing into that search box, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
You know, a good starter place to go is with just a basic key phrase. So what does your business do? Well, we're going off of Sean's earlier segment, we're a pizzeria. So, you know, you do pizza in Reading or pizzeria in Reading. Google is smart enough to figure out that those are the same things, you know, that pizzerias serve pizza. And so they're going to serve up the same results. But, you know, you have to be a little bit, you know, earlier, Joe, you used the example of carpet cleaning. And this is a prime example of where a lot of people fail on this. And that is
I did that as a softball for you, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
yeah.
I'm about right, to hit it out of the park. Can you do that with a softball?
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, carpet cleaners is my go-to example of probably not a very good search term. And the reason why is what exactly are you looking for? Are you looking for somebody to clean your carpet, or are you looking for somebody who – or are you looking for a machine to clean your carpet?
Right.
Both of those are covered by
that. Or a carpet cleaning agent that you pour on the carpet.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Right. And so, you know, this comes down to, you know, basically let's say their carpet cleaner means those three things. And for the sake of argument, let's say they're all searched equally. So 2/3 of the people who hit your site would immediately leave.
Which is bad in Google.
Which is
Google
absolutely
hates
bad.
To see that.
Right. You know, they're basically seeing that people don't like you.
And so they will not rank you highly, and so no one will see your site, and so you will die poor and lonely.
Right.
In the gutter.
And so for the sake of keeping this interesting, hopefully people...
I just wanted to, you know, follow that through to its conclusion.
Right. I realize this topic is a little boring. So, you know, in the interest of keeping it interesting, I will attack other SEO companies.
Oh, my God.
And I have known so many SEO companies that go to the person and they say, well, what do you want to be found for? Perfectly viable question. What do I want to be found for? I want to be found for pizza. I'm a pizzeria. And they say, okay, well, what search terms do you want us to target? No. If your SEO company asks you that question, you need to hang
get another
and,
one.
And get another one. They need to figure out those terms. They need to ask you your services and what you'd like to be found for. They need to interview you for these things. But if they are asking you to put down the terms, the trick here is that your business is going to pick terms that nobody's searching for. And so now you're in a contractual obligation to look for best darn pizza this side of the Mississippi, right? Nobody's looking for this. Well, maybe a few people, but. And so let's say I'm contracted as an SEO for best darn pizza this side of the Mississippi. Man, I got to put in 5 minutes worth of work and then charge you monthly. You know, that is the trick that they're doing, you know.
Yeah, let's step out here for a second and look at this because, you know, really what you're doing here is you're pulling back the green curtain and you're putting a few people to sleep, but you're pulling back the green curtain.
Hey, ma'am. I'm really trying here.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
I know.
It's awesome. You're pulling back the green curtain and you're helping our audience and our local businesses understand how to manage SEO companies. Now, you know, we get that some people listening are do-it-yourselfers, and they're going to want to go out and do these things. I was probably a do-it-myselfer for the first 5 years of learning this stuff. And so we get that, and so you could take our advice and you can do it yourself. But, you know, we're really talking to the people who have to pay for these services, these SEO services or social media or whatever.
Absolutely.
And you know, you've said a couple things that I want to make sure we highlight and stick around here for a second because, first off, the internet – is incredibly transparent and is to say it's a treasure trove of information about your customers would be the understatement of the decade. For people like us who understand the internet and how to get to the data, we can know almost everything there is to know about your business, your customers, what people are looking for, what problems they want solved. And so when you are talking to an SEO company, if they ask you to give them an Excel spreadsheet of the 10 terms you want to be found for, well, you really do need to run, because you're probably not as advanced at using these tools to know what terms you really should be using. Plus, I have found that businesses are the least likely to know what customers really are looking for online, because you live in kind of a bubble.
Oh, absolutely. Close to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I would just let that settle in. Business, you don't know. You do not know what people are doing online or searching online. Now 3 years doing this, I don't think I've ran into a business yet that was right about what terms people are looking for, how people want to use their website.
Yeah, I constantly find businesses that are, like, when they're talking about it, even though they're a B2C, a business-to-consumer business, when you ask them about it and about communications and how to do it and key terms and all this stuff, it's more like they're communicating with their vendors, you know, because they're just so used to being trapped and they're using this lingo that's just not realistic. It's just, you can't make that decision. You just can't.
Yeah. And the information's there to make the right decision. So you don't, as a business, you shouldn't have to do that. Now, it doesn't mean you shouldn't approve the terms, but the other thing is, if you have a company that you're planning on working with that sells these services, and there's tons of good ones. We are not the only one in town. There are tons of good ones in town. Optimize Worldwide's a good one. I could name them all over. There's tons of good ones. But if they're just asking you for a spreadsheet, or they're asking you to tell them, you can be pretty sure that it's not important to them to do research. And the thing about search engine optimization is it is almost a constant research program, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a it's a communal – how did I state this earlier? It's like a community that is trying to reverse engineer Google through competition.
Yeah. Right. That's good.
And that's really what we're all doing, is we are trying to reverse engineer it by building off of what the people have done before us, and we're just each – you know, making a little tweak, and we're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, because Google, I don't know if businesses know this, Google does not give out a list of everything you're supposed to do to successfully get your client to the top of the list. Google does give you clarity into its intentions, and it does give you tools to view statistics and some important measurements that Google finds important, but there's no list.
They give you about five things you should do and five things you shouldn't. And
that's right.
And then everything else, the other 1,000 grains of sand, are basically reverse engineered. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We get asked that question all the time. Okay. So when should I start seeing results? And my answer has gotten to the point where I just say, I don't know. You know, right. I don't know. Sometimes it's quick because there's no competition in that market or in those keywords, so you can just go right up. Other times, there are businesses paying as much as $75 per click if they've got ads, which means they certainly are fighting for the search engine optimized placement on Google's page. And so when are you going to get results? Who knows?
Right.
Hopefully soon.
Yeah, it really depends on the market, too. If you're in a local market, you'll probably see results faster than if you're in a national market.
Yeah. I can understand a business not listening to us, but, you know, if someone comes to them and says, you know, we don't know when you'll get results, they'll be like, oh, isn't that convenient?
Right.
But it is the way it is. Which is.
Yeah. Well, that's one reason why people have felt very burned in the past.
Exactly.
You know, and ultimately the bottom line is, when will we see results? You know, if you really want to see results, there's a lot more to it. You know, SEO is one of those things that, Joe, you were talking about ads and pay-per-click, you know, and people like to keep the two separate. They say, oh, well, you know, I'm doing my ads and I'm doing my SEO. Well, you know, your SEO really affects – I mean, your ads really affect your SEO.
All right, Chauncey, unfortunately, I have to cut you off there. I hope I didn't use too much of your segment with one of my rants, but we are coming to the end of this
rant away, this segment. My friend, rant away.
We're in our second hour of the Digital Revolution Show, literally the most important second hour in all of radio. And we're going to break.
That's true. Yeah.
We'll be right back. We'll see you when you come back.
For over 10 years, we've danced to support survivors of domestic violence and sexual abuse. Now One Safe Place invites you to the 11th annual Dancing with the Stars, Shasta County Style, on July 8th at the Cascade Theater in Reading. Join the 2017 cast as they compete for the ultimate prize, the Champions Trophy. Get your tickets to the show and vote for your favorite dancer at ospshasta.org or call 244-0118. Sponsored by Partnership Health, Results Radio, KRCR Channel 7, and KCBU Fox Channel 20. One Safe Place, together we change lives.
Reading weather is heating up again, and that means air conditioning in your car or truck is not optional. I trust St. John's Automotive on Eureka Way to do the job right with one-stop service for my car. They are family-owned with fair prices, outstanding work, and great customer service. They do it all. Call St. John's Automotive 2040 Eureka Way at 605-4889. That's 605-4889.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
As Californians, we are fortunate to live in such a rich agricultural state. California agriculture generates roughly $37.5 billion annually, more than any other state. Orchard Nutrition Center believes that buying local not only supports North State agriculture, but decreases the amount of time between harvest to your family's table, resulting in the freshest, most nutritious meat and produce available. Hat Creek Grown is one of the largest providers of grass-fed beef in California and is a featured vendor of Orchard Nutrition Center. Grass-fed beef has about one-half to one-third the amount of fat than grain-fed beef. It is lower in calories and can also lower LDL cholesterol levels. Hat Creek Grown is family-owned, with its roots dating back to 1903. Delicious, local, natural. Hat Creek Grown at Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust Street in Reading. Now open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week to better serve your family. Orchard Nutrition Center.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
Welcome back to the Digital Revolution Show. All right. So we're in the final segment of this new two-hour show, and as usual, I have about 10 pages of stuff I wanted to get to that we didn't get to.
So we're going to talk really fast in this last segment.
We're going to go really fast. I wanted to bring up a news story, which I think is highlights the importance of some things. Anyone that's heard me talk or speak, I bring up what I call the e-commerce economy. I even have the domain, e-commerce economy. Mm-hmm. And essentially, there is this new economy. And I think of it a lot like the way railroads, they would come into new towns, and that would introduce new customers and new products into that town. Well, in a way, this e-commerce economy is our generation's new railroad. And so local communities will have the opportunity and the choice of whether they're going to tap in to this e-commerce economy. Why should you? It's going to eclipse regular brick and mortar retail sales in the next year or two. It might have already.
Right. That's Eclipse with a large E and then a hyphen. Yeah,
that's a lower, right. Small E with a large C.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. All right. And it's also new customers. It means that the local thrift store can sell a product that someone really wants to somebody in Florida. You know, it literally is meeting new customers, and if you're not there, guess what? Other people are going to meet your customer. So this story is really interesting. The largest clothing line in the world, Nike, is now selling its shoes on Amazon. Now, a lot of you listening might go, what do you mean? I just bought Nike shoes on Amazon last week. Well, here's the thing. You didn't buy it from Nike. So there are retailers who have been offering Nike products on Amazon. There's also been people who shouldn't have been offering Nike's products, and it was not in their terms. So in order to combat the e-commerce economy on Nike, Nike has made arrangements to sell its products direct on Amazon, allowing Amazon to help crack down on these people who are selling Nike's products either illegally or just extending their terms, you know, going further than they were supposed to in selling the product. So now the largest clothing line in the world is selling its products on the largest e-commerce platform in the world, and they've made a deal. So if that's not evidence of the impact that the e-commerce economy is having on business, that Nike's having to partner with an e-commerce monster, then I don't know what else is. This is a new story. Anyone can go Google it. There's a lot of different perspectives, a lot of different impact. But to me, that was a really important story to look into, and I think all local businesses need to start watching what's going on in this e-commerce economy. We're going to cover it in the show, and we're going to keep you up to date. So if you want to know what's going on, we'll tell you.
I don't like this story.
Okay.
I got to tell you. I find this story to be indicative of what I find to be the problem in retail in the real world. I view it as a little too, you know, we all know that competition is what fuels our economy. And I feel that when these big guys get together, that it sort of degrades competition a little bit. So I think we should use that as a call to action for all you businesses to get out there and say, we have a playing field where we can actually do some competition with these guys.
You know what? So that's an awesome lead into a topic I wasn't going to cover on this. and that is the topic Project Hometown. You can go to projecthometown.com to figure out how to get involved. But essentially, this e-commerce economy is happening. The monsters are doing things like this. But there's no reason that local communities couldn't become monsters ourselves. Imagine if every local business in Redding and Shasta County went online selling their products in an e-commerce fashion the way people want to buy. We become kind of a network that creates a competitor to Amazon, right? We become a network of e-commerce sites supporting each other. We become something that's talked about in the press all around the U.S. and all around the world of this community who decided to lead the charge into tapping in to the e-commerce economy. So I don't think any one business can beat this. But yeah. If we all came together, we could.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, especially other marketers and SEOs, might be going like, well, you're never going to compete with Amazon. Well, the fact of the matter is, in organic search results, it's going to be a while. But yeah. Amazon will never compete with you in local search results. Amazon is never going to show in that map pack. And if Google decides that there are relevant results for shoes in Reading, they will show a map pack. They will show that information. That stuff will happen. And, so it may be a while before, you know, you get up the chutzpah to take them on in organic, but in local search results, you have the advantage.
That's right. And that's another part of the show is because you do have the advantages of a local business. Now, I want to get into something else We talked to a lot of new clients over the last couple weeks. And we brought on new clients over the last couple weeks. And there was a couple things that I almost want to call this segment Joe's Rant because I was almost angry. And remember, I come from the perspective of business, both a successful business and a failed business, like Marcus said. So I've learned the hard way, both sides of this. Businesses don't have, I don't care how big they are or how small they are, they don't have extra resources or revenue or capital to waste. And right now, we see vendors, you know, SEO experts, social marketing, website experts, who I think take advantage of the fact that local businesses still haven't quite caught up in how to manage this new world and these new vendors. Mm-hmm. And I saw some companies who had spent $200,000. And I'm not talking about a big company who should have been able to afford that. They spent as much as $200,000 to establish a content marketing process, which never worked, mm-hmm. never brought them any results. That's $200,000 gone. I'm talking to somebody else.
I would have sold that to them for $150,000.
Well, right. I wouldn't have let you.
Just kidding.
We had another client that we brought on who they were convinced to do a risky tactic, a lot of money, and if it paid off, it would be just a windfall of sales. Well, it didn't pay off, and it's not happening, and it didn't work, and none of the goals were met, and so now they're out all this cash. And so over the years, I've developed a kind of marketing personally in my own companies that would never let those things happen. And our my business, Joe's Web Geeks, it makes sure those things never happen for our clients. And I call that kind of marketing limited risk marketing. So I want to get this term out there. I want local business to start thinking about it, whether you work with us, no matter who you work with. Think limited risk marketing. And what limited risk marketing is it means that you don't spend more than you can afford to lose, for one. And then the other part of it is you have to do small tests because there are so many challenges. There are so many strategies. And just because one of those $200,000 marketing strategies worked for one company does not mean it's going to work for you. And what happens is these vendors who sold that $200,000 marketing strategy that might have worked for one company, they say, well, let's sell it to another company. Well, you don't know if it's going to work. So businesses, use limited risk marketing, which means just the simple fact that you don't write a check for anything more than you can afford to lose. And you just take small tests. And if you can't understand whether those tests are working, then spend some time to figure out how to know if a test working. It may not always be revenue in. It may not always be customers. It may be that you get more clicks. It may be amount of time people spend on your website. It may be one of your radio ads is performing better and you can see it. There are metrics out there that you can find out if these little tests are working. You get a little information and you can move on.
You definitely can, but I get this a lot in my business. I'm guessing that you do too. And this is where I think businesses are dropping the ball on what you're saying, is that they're calling you up when they're desperate.
Right.
They're calling you up and they're saying like, oh, we need this and we need it to happen now and so on and so forth. So they don't have that room to dabble. What businesses really need to be doing is realizing that this is a necessary part of their business from the beginning so that they can dabble and really carve out their path in the virtual advertising world.
Right. You know, that's a good point. That's funny. That's one of the things that when I'm asked, you know, well, how long do I have to pay for something or, you know, when do I not have to update my website and pay someone to do that anymore? And I just say, look, in this world now, you just got to budget. You have to budget that you're going to spend money on the internet, whether it's website, social, SEO, whatever. This is your new world. So when you budget what you can afford to lose until you have learned and mastered. You would have done the same things in every other department of your business.
Yeah, take your business card budget and flip it over because you don't need that anymore.
Well, if you manufacture things, you don't just buy a giant manufacturing plant and start manufacturing. If you're going to manufacture a new product, you don't just commit. What you do is you produce a prototype. You see if you can manufacture it. You test selling it, and then you make the investment. The same thing has to happen in marketing. You got to do limited risk. Okay, hey, we're coming to the end of this two-hour show. You've been listening to the Digital Revolution Show. We really appreciate you listening. I hope that we've been able to help you understand the internet. I hope we pulled back some of the green curtain. Check us out, Digital Revolution Show. You can check out our business, joeswebgeeks.com. And you can also check out Mark at High Rise. That was an awesome interview. So we'll talk to you again next Saturday. Thank you.
DNR, Shasta, Redding.
The fund launched by his daughter, Ivanka Trump, as he was speaking on the sidelines of the G20 Economic Summit.
I'm truly glad and very proud to be here today to announce a historic initiative that will help transform millions of lives, millions and millions.
Meanwhile, British Prime Minister Theresa May told those gathered in Hamburg she has agreed now to work with other G20 member states to help counter violent extremism in their countries.
We can change the balance of the fight when we work together, and I'm confident that through these efforts, we will defeat the scourge of terrorism.